In the first reading today, St. Paul talks about the allegory of the two women that we hear who gave birth to the children of Abraham. So Abraham, remember, as he was getting old, knew that God had made promises regarding a son. He was 75 years old at this point, and their son hadn't been born. His wife is 65, doesn't look like things are going to happen the way that he thought that they were going to happen. So Sarai, his wife, said, "Have relations with my slave. Maybe that's how you're going to have the son." So that's what Abraham did, and the son was born of the slave woman. And then only when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, so more impossible than what it even seemed at 65, it is then that Sarah gave birth to a son, the son of the promise. And so Abraham is looking at these two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, two sons of Abraham, one born of a slave, one born of a free woman, and saying, this is an allegory to these two covenants. There was a covenant made at Mount Sinai, and then there is the new covenant. But there's an interesting twist that St. Paul puts on this, and he says, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia which corresponds to the present Jerusalem. Fascinating point. It's like, what's he getting at here? Because what does a mountain in Arabia have to do with present-day Jerusalem? What he's talking about there is the covenant that was made with Moses was made at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is, as St. Paul points out, in Arabia. But it's being lived in Jerusalem. That's for Judaism, that's where everything was centered. So the covenant was made at Mount Sinai, but essentially transferred to Jerusalem, and that's for the Jewish people where everything was. And so he's looking at this and saying, okay, the old covenant is a covenant of slavery. It is laws. These are the laws that you will follow. Then he's looking at the new covenant, which interestingly was made in Jerusalem. As St. Paul would have been writing, it would have been his present-day Jerusalem. That is the covenant who is Jesus Christ. But St. Paul says, but this corresponds to the Jerusalem from on high, the heavenly Jerusalem, not just the earthly Jerusalem. In other words, the new covenant is from heaven. It is not just of earth. The old covenant, obviously, God had himself laid all the laws out on the tablets, so you can say, yes, it is the law of God, but it is a law St. Paul is looking at of slavery because of the laws, whereas we have a covenant that makes us the children of God, that we are free. And it is that freedom of the children of God, the children, the freedom to live as we were intended, not because we are forced to do so according to the law, but because of a choice, because of charity. That's where the difference is. St. Paul obviously couldn't have looked at things in the way that we can in the 21st century, and so if we remove ourselves for a second from the matter of these two covenants and just simply look at the women that are being talked about, we'd have to add a third. So we can say today that there is a slave woman, Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael. This is where the Muslim people would see their beginnings. This is why they would say that they believe in the God of Abraham, because Ishmael being the son of Abraham. Obviously, they've got things a little mixed up, a lot mixed up, but nonetheless, that's what they would claim. Then you have the Jewish people who would look at themselves as coming from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and so on. And then you have the Christian people who come from Our Blessed Lady. She is not just a free woman the way that Sarah was. She is free from sin. She is the one human person on earth in history who truly loved God perfectly. So when we look at this and say, this is our mother, this is the one we would look to, the mother of our blessed Lord Jesus, and she is free, completely free, not only free in the Jewish sense of freedom, but free from sin, free from slavery in any way, shape, or form, never once enslaved to Satan for even a split second of her life. That's the one we would look to. Now, when we look back again what St. Paul is talking about with the two covenants, yes, you look at the two sons of Abraham, and that's where that's going to come from. But we can look at it in that broader sense. But getting back to the covenants, we have to then look and say, all right, so the first covenant that St. Paul is talking about is the covenant made at Sinai, which was made with Moses, not with Abraham, and it's the Ten Commandments, it's the law. The new covenant, which was made in Jerusalem, is the person of Jesus. Again, that is something I stress over and over again and cannot stress enough. God did not make a covenant with Jesus. Jesus is the covenant. That's what we must understand. It is not an external agreement like it was for the Jewish people. Here are the laws. This is outside of you. These are written on stone. This is what you have to agree to, and this is what you are to follow. The new covenant, who is a person, is something which is interior, because when we are baptized into that covenant, we become a member of Jesus himself. And so we are incorporated into the very person of Jesus Christ. And so the freedom that we have then is literally the freedom of the children of God. That's this new covenant. And that's exactly what we see then, what's being talked about in the gospel reading. So when St. Paul says that this covenant corresponds to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem from on high, then we look at that gospel reading, which is the beginning of the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, the chapter that is all about the Most Holy Eucharist. And so when we listen to what is being spoken and we hear about the multiplication of the loaves and the feeding of the people and all these different things that are happening, what we see is the correspondence to especially Moses. And we even, it's what comes after the passage today, but we know that what follows is the people coming to Jesus and talking to him about this. And he says, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread come down from heaven. So we have Jesus feeding the people in a way similar to the people were fed out in the desert. We're also told that this is in a wilderness. It's along the Sea of Galilee, but there's an area that's just pretty barren. And that's where this would have been. And we also know that Jesus didn't walk through the sea with it separated. He just walked on it. He walked across the Sea of Galilee. So again, showing that this is greater than Moses, showing himself as the one who is the promise. So we have St. Paul talking about the woman who is the woman of the promise because she is free, and therefore her son is the son of the promise. But Jesus is the one who is promised. We even recognize that in what the people say. This is the prophet. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah, but they recognized him as the one that Moses spoke about, that Moses spoke about in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember, Moses said, God will raise up for you a prophet like me. That's what they're seeing. This is like Moses. This is the prophet that was promised. So Jesus is not just the son of the promise, Jesus is the promise. And you and I are incorporated into that. And the Holy Eucharist is the very person of Jesus Christ. It's not a sign of Jesus, it's not a symbol of Jesus, it is Jesus. Again, if this covenant was an external covenant, if it was a covenant made with Jesus, and we are simply acknowledging that and accepting that and saying, I want to be part of that covenant, yeah, then there would be a sign. There would be a sign that would say, here's a reminder of that covenant. But because the covenant is a person, the sign of that covenant is the very person of Jesus. And so it is the bread come down from heaven, the bread that we can eat and live. That's what our Lord is getting at. This is the new covenant, and you are part of that. So it's not just simply going back to the promise that was made to Abraham, which it does go back there, and we see through Isaac how this is done through the Jewish people up to our blessed Lord. But now we have the promise, the one who is the fulfillment of everything that was promised. And we are celebrating that every single day. It's a celebration of who we are in Jesus. So in order to know who we are, we first have to know who he is. And for the Jewish people, if you go back, and this is why St. Paul is making such an issue of this, for the Jewish people, the whole thing was about the covenant. God made a covenant with us. Therefore, we are the people of God. We are the people of the covenant. But God didn't make a covenant with us. Jesus is our covenant. And we are incorporated into him. And therefore, we are not the people of God. We are the children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We have been elevated literally to a supernatural level of acting and being because of the grace given to us in Christ. So we have to recognize our dignity, and we have to live according to that dignity. So we even think about what we're doing today, wearing rose, and the first word of the Mass today is laetare, to be joyful. This is why. It's to recognize who we are and to live that, to be joyful because we are the children of God, because we are literally members of the Jerusalem from on high, the new Jerusalem. Our mother is more than just the free woman. She is the mother of all the living in Christ because she is the mother of Jesus. And so we have in our Lord the fulfillment of all of these things, but it's not just about who Jesus was 2,000 years ago, because he is God and he lives, and therefore it is about you and me as members of this covenant, as participants in this covenant. That's what the church is asking us to look at and to recognize, just as the Jewish people could look at it and say, but we are the children of the covenant. This is who we are. This defines us. And that's how they have looked at this for thousands of years. And we tend to forget that. We tend to forget who we are. Maybe because for the Jewish people it was something external, they could look at it as apart from themselves. For us, it's internal. We cannot look at it apart from ourselves because it's who we are. We cannot honestly define ourselves in any other way. And yet, how often as Christian people, we just ignore it. Like it doesn't seem to matter to us. You look at what St. Paul is talking about for the Jewish people, this was what it was all about. This was the greatest matter of all. They were the people of God. They were the children of the covenant. And that's huge. That set them apart from anybody else on the face of the earth. Nobody else had that covenant. Nobody else could call themselves the people of God. And you so far surpass that, because you are a child of God. And we just shrug it off like it's no big deal. And tragically, the very sign of that covenant of which you are a part is the covenant itself, because it is the Holy Eucharist, who is the very person of Jesus. And once again, we just kind of shrug it off like it's no big deal. Yeah, we do this week after week after week, so what? It is the Lord. This isn't a sign of Jesus. It is Jesus, because he is our covenant and therefore defines who we are. That's why the church says no one can receive Holy Communion unless they are already incorporated into that covenant, unless they are in full union with Christ. You can't celebrate that union unless you already have it. And that's what we're doing. So it's not just simply you have to be in the state of grace to receive communion, which you do, but it's because of who you are. That's why you have to be in the state of grace, because you have to have the life of God, because you are a child of God, in order to receive the Lord God in Holy Communion. Because it is you, because it defines you. That's what we need to be about. How often do we even think about this? Or maybe we need to look at it a little differently and say, does it even matter to us? It is everything. If we really want to see who it matters to, it is the Lord. Because it is the Lord. It matters everything to him. This is why he died. This is the whole purpose of why he came into this world. And now we are able to receive the one from heaven. So the old covenant, if what happened at Sinai in Arabia corresponds to modern-day Jerusalem, and what happened in modern-day Jerusalem corresponds to the heavenly Jerusalem, then we have to recognize who this is and where he is and where we are. We are citizens of heaven. That's what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, because we are incorporated into the covenant that was made in Jerusalem and corresponds to heaven. So we have the bread come down from heaven. We have the Lord who is in heaven. You and I are made to go to heaven, to spend eternity in heaven. But heaven comes to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And heaven comes to earth literally in your soul. It becomes the very dwelling place of God. It becomes heaven on earth. This is your dignity. This is how each one of us should be able to define ourselves. Citizens of heaven, participants in the covenant, the dwelling place of God. Do we see the beauty? Do we see the dignity that God has given us? Maybe the fact that it is so far beyond us, we just kind of think, well, I don't quite understand it, so I just will pay no attention. Don't do that. It may be beyond our ability to fully understand, but it is who we are. It defines who we are. So there is cause for rejoicing here, because of what our Lord has done for us and who he has made us into, the children of God. Take that to prayer. prayer. Really ponder that seriously in your prayer and apply it to yourself. Because it's not something apart from you. It is you. It's how we have to define ourselves as Christian people. And if that's how we define ourselves, then it's how we are to live. Children of the woman who is truly free. Not only free because she's part of the Jewish people, she is free of sin. She is free of everything that is separate from God. She is our mother, and we are members of her son. And so we are members of the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from on high, citizens of heaven and children of God.